I'm sitting over here because this is where I sit when I talk to the youth. My youth are here, some of them. I don't know where the others are. Our church is scared of the cold, which is unfortunate because I think at every opportunity we have, we need to be here. A few weeks ago, God really was challenging me. I got here 5 minutes early and I thought, well, I had a look. When I got to the parking lot, there was not another soul in sight. And it just made me think, but where is our commitment? This is an aside, but you might say, well, it's 5 to 8. Who's going to be at church at 5 to 8 on a Sunday morning? And my answer to that is somebody that's passionate, somebody that cares, somebody that wants to have an encounter with God. And it's difficult to do it, and it's uncomfortable, and it puts us out of our comfort zones. But church, if we're not willing to even come a little bit early for church, how can we expect God to be there in the moments of our lives when we need Him most? If we're not willing to show the world that we're committed to loving them, how are they ever supposed to know that love is within these doors? Maybe that's an extreme statement, but I feel that Jesus was extreme. Jesus never dealt in half measures. Jesus was always willing to go that extra mile. He'd be on a journey going somewhere. And somebody would have a problem and they'd stop him. And what would he do? He'd turn around from his journey and give 100% of his attention to the person that needs him. How many times in our busy lives, if somebody's trying to get hold of us, do we just keep missioning on forward because we have a goal and we need to get that goal done? And if that goal doesn't get done, well, then the world's going to end. But the world's not going to end. And that example over there somehow has just fallen very nicely into what we're going to be talking about tonight, or a little bit later on tonight. For part one, I want to ask, who has their sword here tonight? If you don't have your sword, I might have to ask you to go home and fetch it. Maybe it's too late. I don't know. So tonight, going to do maybe a little bit of Bible study. So those of you that don't have your swords, source one. There's ones on the internet if you really need them. We're going to go to Psalm 119 and have a look over there. Psalm 119 verse 9 is a verse my mom always used to teach me. But this one goes a little bit beyond just verse 9. So from verse 9, and it goes like this, and I'll try and read slowly. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I've tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I've recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I've rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commands and reflect your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. How many times have we not found ourselves in that position? Especially when we've just given our life to God, or we've just made a fresh commitment. We're like, God, I'm gonna read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be committed to you. I'm going to be at life group and at the prayer meeting and at church twice on a Sunday. I'm going to be ministering into people's lives. I'm going to be keeping my life pure. Often we find ourselves in this position that David was talking about. I want to go somewhere else. And it's kind of reiterating a similar point. If you go to Joshua chapter 1. Again, it's funny. I'm looking at some of the verses tonight. And these are verses my mom kept telling me when I was growing up. So you can blame my mom about this message if it touches on a nerve. But I don't think it should. And from verse 6, it says this. No, sorry, I'm going to go from verse 7. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, just a reminder that we need to follow God's word, that we need to keep it in front of us, that when we're following God's word, and when we follow God, we shouldn't take a step to the left, and we shouldn't take a step to the right. Shanae, how many volunteers do I need? 3, 6. Okay, can I please have 6 volunteers? And as few as possible from these 2 rows. And that row over there. I need 6 volunteers. Why is it prejudice? No, I just said as few as possible. No, you can come, it's fine. No, you don't need your sword for this exercise, it's fine. If some of the younger generation want to join us, you can join us. Not that these generations are that old. So we're gonna have a bit of a demonstration here tonight, and I think it's always nice to see things because hopefully you'll remember them. I hope you brought your sense of humor with, because you may need it, especially you guys. Everyone hear the instructions? Yes. No, okay. So I'm going to explain to you what's going to happen. So for our illustration tonight, we've put headphones and some loud music on Frank's head, and we're going to give Lorraine a phrase that she's going to say to Frank. Frank is then going to have to decipher the phrase. No actions at all. So Lorraine will still be able to speak. Exactly. Shanae, did you give a microphone to Frank?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's just on.
Forgive us, we'll get organized now. The microphone's here. Yeah. Okay, we're ready to go. Let's go. Lorraine, please read the phrase.
A spoonful of medicine makes the a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Must I do it as a...
Say what she said.
Okay, start again.
Don't say it loud. Because the headphones are not too loud.
I am full of mercy. I'm full of joy.
Can we please have our next participants take a seat? I wonder if Glenn and Lindsay will be able to do a bit better. I mean, I thought that married couples would at least be able to decipher, you know, because they communicate and have been communicating with each other for a number of years. Good luck, Glenn.
Something about food? Say again?
I'm confused.
You're cooking food?
No, see, I'm not usually confused.
One more time. Okay, one.
I'm
confused.
I'm on first.
Okay, our last pairing. I wonder if the younger guys can do any better.
Okay, I have to say this one.
What else? Get those headphones. Oh, over there. Whoops.
Close, huh? You didn't say anything, actually. No.
Crank it up.
Go, Kim. Monet.
Do it one word at a time.
What
else?
Say it again.
Use the microphone.
Say hello.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Say hello.
How? Say hello.
To.
Say hello to me. Say hello to Mike.
Say hello to
my little friend. Say hello to me. say hello to man? Say hello to my
little.
Say hello to my
little.
Pet.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Say hello to my little friend.
Oh wow.
I think that is a...
You should read out the T's and C's.
So, what do we gain from that? I've just told us that God has asked us to live in a certain way, and that certain way is to keep our feet set on a path, and that we shouldn't take a step to the left or a step to the right. So, I was going to read the story, but I'm just going to tell you the story because I think it's easy that way. If you go have a look at the New Testament, I think there's a fantastic story about this. And it's about Jesus walking on the water. So what happened when Jesus walked on the water? He sent the disciples out to their next destination. And he spent the night praying. And in the middle of the night, he started walking back to the boat across the water. And what did the disciples do? The disciples are bang brukke. And they start feeling scared. And eventually they shout out, "Lord, if it's you, you know, basically ask us to come to you." And none of them had the guts to actually do it, except for Peter. Peter had a little bit of faith. And so Peter decided, okay, I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to set my path straight. And I'm going to walk out to Jesus. It's very much the same as each and every single one of us when we've given our heart to God. We're saying, you know what, God, maybe this is for me. Maybe this is the route I need to take. I'm going to set my sights on you, and I'm going to walk after you. I'm going to walk to Jesus. I'm going to have a little bit of faith. I'm going to get out of the boat, and I'm going to walk to Jesus. But what happened to Peter? A couple of steps in, and all of a sudden he starts looking around. Starts looking around and saying, hang on a second. This should not be happening. There are waves. There's wind. And this is water. I can't walk on water. This is not right. What did he do? He started getting distracted. He started having a look at the things around him. And all of a sudden, he started to sink. Because his eyes were not on the prize. His eyes were not on Jesus. And it's a little bit similar to the demonstration we did over here. Because if I had to say to you, I am confused in this room, you know exactly what I'm saying. But as soon as there's a few distractions going on, so I'm listening to a little bit of loud music, all of a sudden the message that I'm trying to get to you, you can't hear because you're distracted. There's something that's blocking your view. It's the same as Peter when he was walking on the water. When he was looking left and when he was looking right, he was distracted. And he wasn't looking at Jesus who could keep him on the straight and narrow. So one of the questions I have for you tonight is, what is distracting you? What is keeping you from hearing God's voice? Because you're not looking at him, you're looking at the waves to the left and to the right. Now, I had to think about it. What are a few things that do distract us as Christians? If we talk about purely just in the church, we have things to do. We have things we need to get ready for. The church needs to look good. We have to have the music, and the music needs to be right. We need to look the right way. We need to sit in the right seat. We need to be warm enough. These are just within the church. What about in our daily lives? We have our responsibilities at our own homes. We have our responsibilities at work. Maybe we have hobbies or things that we'd like to do to keep ourselves busy. Maybe we like to watch TV. All of these things in their own are not bad things. But when they start distracting us from keeping our eyes on Christ, what starts to happen? We start to sink because we're not keeping our eyes on the prize. We start to find our relationships start failing. Because our focus is on Christ. We find things at work that we used to be able to get through no matter how tough they were, we're struggling with even lesser things because our eyes aren't on Christ. We're distracted because we're listening to things of the world that are distracting us from listening to Christ. So then the question is, maybe you find yourself in that distracted position. Maybe you find yourself and there's things that are just hampering you from having the relationship with God that you want to have. There are things that are hampering you from keeping your eyes on the prize, from walking on the water. And there's a few things or a few verses that I'd like to encourage you with and say, these are things that will help us get our eyes back on the prize and focused on Christ. First place I'd like us to open to is in Proverbs. If ever we're going to find some good advice on keeping our eyes on the prize, it would be in Proverbs. I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. And it says this: guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. I mean, how many more times does he have to say it in the same passage? I mean, it's incredible. Guard your heart. If you ask yourself, what have I let into my heart? You know, and there's many things that we can let into our heart. You know, people would maybe initially point out things, well, you've let lust into your heart. That's an obvious thing. But what about pride? How many times does pride not pull us down as Christians? Especially Christians that have been serving in the church for so long. Say, but I've been a Christian for 20 years, or 30 years, or 40 years. God's always been good to me. And all of a sudden, we start seeing ourselves as better than others. We start treating them as less than ourselves. All of a sudden, we haven't been guarding our heart, and something has got in that shouldn't be there. And I think that applies to all of us across the board. Then it says, avoid all perverse talk and stay away from corrupt speech. What are we listening to, church? Corrupt speech doesn't necessarily have to be the dirty jokes that are told at the office. It could be the music that we're listening to. It could be, not necessarily dirty speech, but the things that we're allowing and the conversations that we're entering into. Speaking about our country, I mean, how many times can we pull down our country? And does that honor God? I think that's the important thing. Does that honor God? I mean, as South Africans, we get pulled into political discussions for nothing. We almost thrive in wanting to talk about it and talk how horrible Jacob Zuma is and how maybe that pastor from Rivers Church was actually right. Church, what are we allowing ourselves to talk about and to listen to? And then what does it say? Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. If Peter had just kept his eyes on Christ, he would not have sunk. He would have walked all the way to Christ and would not have needed Christ to help him back up. We need to fix our eyes on what lies before us, church. We can't allow ourselves to be distracted when it comes to our relationship with God, because otherwise we will be in Peter's boat. We will be sinking, and we will need God to pull us out of the mess that we got ourselves into. Mark out a straight path through your feet and stay on the safe path. Once we've made the decision to follow Christ, we cannot go left and right. If what Jesus said is true, that wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to heaven, that leads to Him, and few there are that find it, we need to recognize that it is difficult to be a Christian. And not just a person that calls themselves a Christian, but a Christian in the true sense of the word. A Christian that lives with the love that Pastor Shirley was talking about this morning, that loves the unlovable, that is who Christ is. Christ doesn't see what we see. He sees a person. He sees a heart. I know for myself that's difficult sometimes. I mean, if I go have a look at a person that's openly gay, what has my upbringing taught me? My upbringing has taught me that what that person is doing is a sin. But does that mean I need to love that person any less than I'd love one of you? Absolutely not. Because I don't know what sin you've committed. I mean, for all I know, it could be something far worse. But I'm not in the position to rank sin. Only God can look at sin. Only God can judge, because only God is just. What I need to do is I need to love the individual and not the mistakes they've made. Because if I am not doing that, I'm not loving the way that Christ loved me. Because he loved me, mistakes and all. Mistakes and all. And then again, it reminds us, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. I think that's important. Keep your feet. And when it talks about guard your heart, it's not passive. It's active. It means it's something that I need to do on a daily basis. That's just the Old Testament. What happens when we hit the New Testament? It reminds us of exactly the same thing. In Romans 12 verse 2, it tells us that one of the keys is what we think. But I'm not going to go there. What I want to go to is Philippians. If we go to Philippians 4, and from verse 6, it says this. From verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience the peace, God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see that? These distractions that we are talking about. These things that are keeping us up at night. Anything that makes us anxious. If we lay it before Jesus, his peace is going to help guard our hearts and minds. And yes, that is talking about having peace about things that we are anxious for. But I believe that any distraction we are facing, if we give it to Jesus, he's the one that's going to help us guard our hearts and minds. He's going to do it. Another version or another translation talks about how he will form a garrison around our hearts. That is pretty epic. God will form a garrison, something that will be impenetrable around our hearts. And then if you don't want to get distracted, let's take verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You see, if we start thinking about things like that, our thoughts are not wandering off to get distracted. They're not getting us in trouble like they normally do. But we need to practice thinking those things. There's one thing I've learned is that if I land up sinning, it's because I've allowed a thought to go around in my head long enough for it to become an action. I've made a decision to allow that thought to become an action, or at least to become something that I pondered on for too long. But when I start fixing my thoughts, things that are good and noble and right and true and excellent and praiseworthy, when my thoughts are in the right place, it is a lot easier to not be distracted. It turns down the noise of what is distracting, and it turns up the volume of God's voice. Because if I'm living a holy and sanctified life, it's so much easier for me to connect with God. Not to say that God can't connect with us in our imperfection, but it's a lot easier when we're living the right way, for God to reach out for us and for God to speak into our hearts and speak into our lives and for us to action what God has commissioned us to do. So I got a bit serious on you now. But it's true. And I think as a church and as individuals, the life that we're living in today is ridiculously busy. If I look at my own life, I need to say, yo, Josh, with all the things that I'm busy with, am I still making time for Christ? Am I still making sure that I'm looking at Jesus and not the waves around me? Am I getting myself so busy that I don't have time for God to speak to me? Sometimes we need to turn down the noise just so that we can hear what Christ really has to say to us. That's pretty much what I have to share with you tonight. I'm hoping that this little fun demonstration that we had will just be a reminder to you that if I want to hear God's voice, if I'm struggling to hear God's voice, have I allowed distractions to become so loud that when God's speaking to me, I can't hear him? It's a scary thought because you've got to be ridiculously honest with yourself. And it's difficult to be honest with yourself. We don't like to do it. We kind of push it around and, you know, I don't know, maybe that's just me. Sometimes I don't enjoy being honest with myself because I don't like the answers I'm going to give myself if I'm honest with myself. But if you really want to grow as a person, and that's not just in your walk with Christ, that's as a person, you need to be honest with yourself. You almost need to set aside time to speak to yourself. Say, what am I doing? Cut out that which is not good. Bring in that which is good. And move forward and keep your eyes on Christ. Amen. Man, let's bow our heads. Father God, I want to thank you, Lord, that Lord, you are a great God, Lord, and you're a God that wants to know us, Lord. You want us to walk on the water. But Lord, sometimes we are just like Peter. We have a look on the water that we're walking on and we think it's impossible. We look at the waves and our circumstances and the things other people are saying and the things that we may be getting ourselves involved in. And we stop looking at you. And Father God, you can do nothing for us if we stop looking at you, because you are our source. Father God, I want to ask that tonight you'd help us to fix our eyes on you, to fix our feet in that straight path or on that straight path and not deviate to the left or to the right. Help us to stay on that path, Jesus. Help us to not get distracted. Father God, forgive us when we have got distracted. But I want to pray, Lord, from this night forward that we would remember this illustration, and when we are being distracted, we will remember, I can't hear what God is saying to me if I'm distracted. I need to take the headphones off so I can hear clearly what God has in store for me. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're going to, that this has been an encouragement, Lord, and it's going to help us to make decisions that are going to help us honor your name. In Jesus' name, I want to pray this. Amen. Amen. Amen.